All right. Hi, everyone. Hi, thanks for attending my talk, listening to my my talk here. My name is Chris, and today I'd like to talk a little bit about firmware testing, or in more specific, about open source firmware testing and how I think we could build an ecosystem around it. Myself, so I am also a firmware developer, working in Elements, doing work for customers, but also personally interested in firmware development and firmware testing. Actually, started interesting me, I don't know, like 1.5 years ago when I joined here, and it's actually, of course, it's not the most the most woo topic, right, where everyone is super excited that we don't talk about testing. However, proper testing can make your life much easier, and I did experience that a couple of times now, that when you work and when you try to find bugs in your code because our features are not working, but actually the master tree is broken, that is something that takes some time to find out. And I think we can do better than we're actually doing right now. And yeah, I'd like to talk about it a little bit. Okay, short agender. I will talk a little bit about open source firmware testing, what's the current state, what's going on there, our idea, how can we build an ecosystem around it, what came we up with. Also sketch the solution that I'm working on, that I already worked with, and how you can get involved, right? I can't do it alone, or we can't do it alone, so I'd love people to get involved in that, and that we can push that a little bit more forward. Okay, open source firmware testing. Firmware obviously runs most of the time directly on hardware. It behaves differently on different architectures, different SOCs, different boards. Everything behaves differently depending on the components which are on the board. Most of the time, firmware does some back and forth talk between the components, and that always differs, and it's quite hard to put that on an abstract layer. That makes firmware testing quite hard, because you work directly on hardware, or also hardware behaves differently, depending on kind of hardware you have and what components are on there and these kind of things. You cannot really simulate everything, right? So that means firmware testing is kind of hard. There's no unified approach to that. I know that there are a couple of systems out there who do work with firmware testing and who implemented firmware testing frameworks. However, we did not agree on a common way yet, which is fine, of course. Everyone can do whatever they want. However, there's no unified approach to that. Most of the time, as we are working with hardware, and it is hardware, it's quite complex to set up, right? If you have some piece of software that you can virtualize in a machine or whatsoever, it's easier because you control everything. Hardware, if hardware is involved directly, that always tends to get complex. The firmware itself is like the first code that runs most of the time, that runs on a platform or on hardware, and so you have to set up a couple of things to flash the board, to exchange that piece of software all the time, to run new tests. So testing is complex, right? And there's also no centralized entity for firmware testing. As I said, I know there are a couple of projects out there who do firmware testing, also a couple of companies out there who do firmware testing. However, there's not a single point of contact where I can go to, where I can check out, okay, what projects do I have? What's the test coverage of these kind of projects? What hardware is supported? What boards are supported? What SOCs are supported? And these kind of things. So there's nothing centralized which we can leverage or where we can start from. Also, firmware itself, like the firmware ecosystem that we're living in, has so many projects out there that it's quite diverse. We get Orboot, we get Coreboot, which is my main project. We get Uboot, we get open source UEFI EDK2 stuff. So to be clear here, when I talk about firmware, it's everything's x86, right? Of course, the same principles always apply, also apply to other architectures, but I do mainly work with x86. And these kind of projects are quite diverse. They have different ways how they test firmware, how they manage the project. It's either a GitHub project, or it's running on Garrett or GitLab or something else. I don't know. So that's quite a diverse field. Also attached to these projects, there's quite amount of different continuous integration systems. Coreboot, for example, uses their own Jenkins CI that does build the code for you. Orboot, for example, I think they use CircleCI in GitHub. Uboot is on GitLab. I'm not 100% sure. So that's quite diverse, right? So there's a lot of pieces moving around in that ecosystem. Yeah. Also, most of the projects, not even all of them, but most of them do build testing. So one could say there's like a loose build testing around the open source firmware ecosystem. And most or none of them, or very, very little actually, do testing on real hardware, at least publicly known. I bet many companies do firmware testing in their own basement for their own firmware that they have, all right, or for their own products. However, everything is closed source. Of course, it's kept secret and for themselves. So there's nothing shared among the community. Coming back to the testing, as I said, nearly every project does build testing, right? It's easy to set up. So setting up a GitLab runner, which does basically just build the code that you wrote, that's quite easy to do. It's also like the minimal amount of confidence that you have when you write code. I mean, most of you might be programmers, and if you write C code, for example, and it builds, that's good. Okay, maybe a couple of warnings, but still it builds, that's fine. However, it doesn't say anything about the functionality. So that's like the lowest barrier that you can actually jump over, that you say, okay, I can compile my code to something. However, there is more, and there should be more. I know that a couple of projects do unit testing. I see Uboot has a couple of Python scripts that do unit testing on the code, I think. Coreboot started to implement unit tests. So that's a step forward. However, in the firmware world, unit testing is also, again, quite complex because you get, again, a lot of layers that you need to simulate. And a lot of sub functions that you have to write and these kind of things. So that's quite tedious to do. Of course, there are also things like functional testing, performance testing, regressions testing, and all these kind of things that you can actually do. However, one has always kept in mind, or has to keep in mind, that firmware is actually the most privileged code that's running on your system. And a lot of these things do have security implications. Like if you run something in your OS, you implicitly assume at least that your firmware is secure and stable underneath. So that brings us to the point that there actually is a need for more OSF testing, for more firmware testing in general, but especially for open source firmware testing. It should be made more accessible, so everyone should be able to set up their own firmware testing infrastructure or to run their own firmware tests. And also the results that you get should be shared, right? It doesn't make sense that 10 people run the same 10 tests over and over on the same hardware again, when we could achieve more if we share our results and 10 different people run on 5 different boards, which cover 2 different socks, right? So we get a wider spectrum that we can actually cover if we share results. So in my opinion, what we need is an open ecosystem. We need somehow a centralized reporting infrastructure where every test system that is out there in the wild, in the basements or whatsoever, can actually report to, right? We need one centralized point of contact where these results can be gathered. Of course, these results should be shared with everyone. They should be open. And people should be able to leverage these results and build their own solutions on top of this. Imagine you have a centralized server or a centralized reporting infrastructure, and you can actually gather all the test results that are there for Coreboot. What you could easily do, and what Coreboot already has, but that's statically more or less, is that you can build up like a board status page to say, okay, these kind of boards and socks and architectures are supported right now. The latest stable commit that has been tested is this and this, and these are kind of things. It gives you way much stability and security in the project itself. However, of course, you have that centralized reporting infrastructure, but what you actually need, you need a decentralized testing infrastructure that feeds the results into that centralized reporting infrastructure. So that means run it in your own infrastructure, right? Don't change anything. Run your own code. Of course, I know that in the last couple of years, a lot of people came up with their own solutions on how to do firmware testing and what tests to run and these kind of things, and integrated it all super clever in their infrastructure. And I don't want to change that, right? That is nothing that can be changed now and or maybe in the future. However, I just want to leverage the results that the people having and put them in a centralized place so that people on top can actually can make something out of it. As I said, share results with others, so post them to this centralized reporting infrastructure. So basically that everyone can submit boards to the QA system, and that we get a wider test spectrum on the open source firmware project. If we set that up, this system, that we have a centralized reporting infrastructure and a decentralized testing infrastructure, there are a couple of pros and cons that come with that, right? Obviously, we get better test coverage, which is always good. We can measure the impact of changes. We can catch regressions that comes up. We can keep unmaintained boards in the tree. And if I talk about unmaintained, I don't mean the board itself or the testing infrastructure. In Coreboot, we talk about, I'm coming from the Coreboot project. In Coreboot, we talk about unmaintained code if no one ever feels responsible anymore for that part of code. So what happens from time to time is that, some specific sock, like some old Intel whatsoever sock, right? Certain people were responsible for that kind of code. However, they stepped back from that responsibility and said, okay, I don't have any much time for that anymore. I cannot maintain the code anymore. I cannot keep care of the code. What we could do is hook up a board which tests that code and have that running in our testing infrastructure. What would be the outcome is actually that board would be still in our testing infrastructure. Everything would be gathered at a centralized place, and we can leverage these results from that board and keep that unmaintained board actually in the tree, because we see, okay, it's running in the testing infrastructure, and we do see the results. We can leverage that, and if errors come up, maybe someone will take care of it. The likelihood that someone takes care of it if tests are already running on that kind of board is much, much higher than if you don't know what's up with that code. And of course, we can combine multiple efforts here. of course, these kind of things, these kind of big changes always come with cons, right? We have to agree on a common test interface. So if we talk about we got a decentralized testing infrastructure and a centralized reporting infrastructure, we somehow have to agree on an interface, like on language that we speak, right? How do we push the results to that infrastructure? How would they look like? What should they contain, what not? And these kind of things. So there needs to be a specification around that. It's integration work, obviously. If you need to adapt to that new ecosystem, or if you want to adapt your own testing infrastructure to that ecosystem, it's always integration work. And of course, bringing new players to the table, as we're trying to do right now, that is always more fragmentation, at least on the short term. The idea, ideally, would be that in long term, you have that centralized infrastructure, and that is actually less fragmentation, at least on the result side. You can still do whatever you want on the testing side. However, there's a standardized way how to post the result to a server, right? And how to gather them. So that would be more fragmentation on the short term. However, long term, it would be less. On the OSFC 2020, so 2 months ago, we already came up with some kind of solution or parts of a solution. We did implement a test system or a couple of test systems that do various tests, right? Boot and build, performance testing, functional testing, whatsoever. These test systems, when they're ready, they do push their results to an S3 bucket. This S3 bucket here was meant as a centralized reporting infrastructure. So that's open, accessible by everyone. All the results are lying there in a JSON machine readable format. So you can just pass them whatever you want. And you can attach consumers to this kind of S3 bucket. So whenever a new report comes in, you can take that report and consume that into into whatever you're doing with it. So that could either be like a core boot status page, that could be, in terms of Theano core, that GitHub repo that they have. Maybe you have an internal CI system, right, in your company, and you say, okay, I do see that there are test results coming in for SOCs or architectures that are interesting for us. For example, we are testing here a couple of Xeon SPs, like Skydeck SP or Cooper Lake SP. And if you're interested in these kind of results, you can actually grab these the reports from us. They're running on an hourly basis and integrate them into your own CI system. So that was the first step that we did here. However, that wasn't enough. So I thought about the use case in core boot, right? As I said, I'm coming from a core boot specific world or centric world, and like 80% of my time I'm working on that project. And what we have here is we have a Garrett system. And that Garrett system actually, you can upload patches there. And once the patches are submitted, you put these kind of, so once the patches are submitted, our internal test system takes that patch and tests it. So what I wanted to set up here a little bit is extend the solution that we have already with the test set up in the S3 bucket with a thing that I call right now, it's like a working title. I call it Firmware Test Result Server. It's not very catchy, I gotta be honest here, but it's basically what it is. So the workflow is a little bit like this. You still have your test setup. That test setup, when it starts, it kind of posts to the firmware test result server, hey, yeah, I'm running a test now. I'm running it on this commit. I'm this worker. I'm working on that project. And that's like a rough description, right? it's a JSON object, and it's a normal HTTP post. Here, as you can see, it says, okay, I'm worker number two. Project ID 1 is actually Koboot. I'm working on this hash right now, so that's a commit I want to test. And I got a timeout. That's actually quite important. And my description is I'm running OCPT overpass Skylake SP boot tests with a Linux boot payload. The timeout is here because if you run these kind of tests, you will notice quite fast that from time to time systems tend to break. And also your internal test system might break, right? There might be, power cut off, internet might drop, whatsoever. And that timeout is actually meant here that in case something happens, the firmware test result server knows that, okay, I wait for 240 minutes. If within the 240 minutes nothing happens, I just assume that this test failed, right? So the test setup, first step, post the job start to job start to the endpoint job start and say with that JSON object that I just showed you, okay, I'm starting my job now. Second step is run the job. So do whatever you want, right? So run your build and boot test, run your functional test, your regression testing, boot time testing, whatsoever. Do whatever you want there. I don't care in the end. When the test system is done, it does push the results to the S3 bucket, right? So it makes the results accessible for everyone because it's in an open S3 bucket. Step four would be that you post to job done. So somehow you have to indicate to the firmware test result server, okay, I'm done with the work that I did, and you can move on here. It's a JSON object that I post to. Again, we have a worker ID 2, because that's ID of the worker. Project ID 1, which is Koboot, running on the same hash still. My test was successful, so I already indicate what the overall success of my test is. And I attach a link to a report. Right now, it can be whatever you want, right? So it can be your internal Excel sheet, it can be a JSON file, it can be a web page, whatever you want. Long-termish, my idea would be that in that report link, you link to a publicly available JSON file where that firmware test result server can actually make a nice looking report out of it. All right, so once the firmware test result server fetches the result from the report link that you have, it does actually post to the Koboot Garrett server. How that looked like, I will show you later. Maybe diving a little bit more into that firmware test result server that I talked about. This scheme more or less sketches how it looks internally. You get the two endpoints, job start and job done. When you post something to job start, it actually adds a new entry. That entry goes into the database, and it also will be forwarded to something that I call Guardian. That Guardian has basically two jobs. The first job is check if the job that you actually posted right now and which has a timeout, check if that timeout is still valid, right? So it's basically just a timer. And then it continuously checks, okay, is the timeout still valid? Is the standard timeout still valid? The other thing is it tracks the status of that entry. So as long as that done flag is not set in that entry, it continuously checks the timeout. Once the done flag is set by calling the job done endpoint, the job done endpoint actually updates the entry. The Guardian, how I called it, actually sees that the job is done, and it forwards that job to something called Bruce. Bruce is the one actually which does the feedback to the Garrett system. Right now, it's only the Garrett system that I integrated. However, long-termish, it could be anything else. It could be presenting a website. It could be posting to a GitHub repo. It could be anything. Bruce also has a couple of responsibilities that it needs to take care over. First one is get the job and see where it has to post to. Second one is that Bruce does actually check if more jobs are running on the same hash. Why am I doing this? Obviously, I want to have like a comprehensive result, right? Of if you have one commit hash, I want to have all the test results under one commit hash. So what I do is, or how I imagined it, let's say like this, is okay. You start working on a commit hash, and other test systems also jump in and say, okay, I'm also testing the same commit, but maybe on different hardware. Bruce knows what other workers are actually working on these kind of commit. And if all of these are done, it actually posts to the Garrett system and has with a comprehensive result where all the test results are actually written down together. What I did in the last 2 months is that I'm working on, and I'm still working on that. I'm putting in two of our internal test systems into that firmware test result server that I just showed you, right? So as a test setup here, I attached two systems. The first system is the Lava QA system, and the second one is the contest system that we presented on the OSFC 2020. Talking about the Lava QA system, that is actually the current hardware QA system of Coreboot, right? Or at least available to the public. It does add a comment after beneath every submitted patch, having like a comprehensive result on, okay, these tests have been run and they failed or passed or whatsoever. Also, it runs on different hardware. So we have a T500X attached right now to it. We got an HP Z500 something. We got another HP attached to it and a couple of QMO targets because they are easy to go. However, it's quite complex to set up. As I said, firmware testing is complex itself. So also setting that up is quite complex. There are four or five parts, moving parts actually, in that whole system. You have to solder hardware and these kind of things, right? So if you want to attach a new board into that system, it's quite complex. And it only reports directly to the Garrett right now. So it doesn't share its results in a machine readable format or so. It's publicly accessible, so you can go on lava.90sec.io. However, it only reports to Garrett only. If you check out lava.90sec.io, you do see that overview of all the tests that have been run, what kind of hardware, what kind of test it was, and if it has been triggered by Garrett or any Lava health checks, right? The second system that I want to attach is Contest. As I already said, there was a longer talk from Andrea and me about Contest on the OSFC 2020, so if you want to check that out. Contest is a general purpose testing framework. It's open source, obviously. You can check it out. I got the links on the last slide, so if you wanna dig into that, feel free. It's modular, so you already have like a basic framework, but if you need special behaviors, they can be plugged in as plugins, right? It's validating to minimize runtime errors. It's configuration based, so the job is more or less a description in text form, and it can either run on the device directly or it can be run orchestrated. The thing that we did for the OSFC 2020 was like this, and this is actually, or this was the starting point of the whole, okay, let's build up an open ecosystem around it. What we did is, We had a Delta Lake, an OCP Delta Lake server. It's a four-node OCP server. And on one slot, there was a contest server running on that. The other three slots were there for testing, right? We had a Raspberry Pi as a client and controller, and that Pi more or less submits jobs or job requests via JSON to the contest server. That contest server does acquire or lock the target. It does start building the Coreboot builds, and then it works with the individual slots to flash them and to test the firmware. once the result or once the test is done, the results actually get posted back to the Raspberry Pi, and the Raspberry Pi does publish the report to the S3 bucket. All right. As I said, the Lava QA that we already set up does make these kind of test report. And this would also be the outcome of the firmware test result server that I wrote. That all works right now. So that is already implemented. You can also check out the code on GitHub. It's open source. And however, it's not live yet. Why it's not live yet? Because it's still running under test. I don't want to break systems, and we got a working system that is working fine and cool. So I don't want to break that. So what I did is it's running right now live, but in a test mode. So it's not really posting to the Garrett system. I assume that I will switch that in the next couple of weeks. Okay. And if you want to get involved into contest, feel free. You can check out the GitHub page, the Facebook incubator/contest. Also, there's a contest channel on the OSFW Slack. You can get your invite at slack.osfw.dev. Also, you can contact me directly on Twitter if you want to. Also, as I said, contest repo is there. The firmware test result server, you can check it out there. It's quite minimal right now, but it's there. Lava QA that I talked about, also, please check it out. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Thanks for having me, and enjoy FOSDEM.